This is tape number 96C2. It was recorded on January 30th, 1996 at 7:30 p.m. at Asbury Theological Seminary. The message is by Dr. Dale Galloway, and it is the second tape of the general session of the 1996 Ministers' Conference.
Have a dream that God will use this night to resurrect a new dream inside of every pastor's heart here. It all begins with a dream. I lay on a beach in 1970 in the state of Washington, not knowing where I was. My life was broken in a million pieces. Sometimes one dream has to die before God can raise up a greater dream inside of a woman or a man. But on that beach, when I cried out to God, "Where are you, God? Don't you care about my broken life?" Out of my brokenness came a new dream. To create a church for the unchurched thousands in the most unchurched city in America. And to call that church New Hope Community Church. Tell me your dream. And I can tell you your future. Visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it tells us in the book of Acts that one of the signs of the Spirit's coming is that we will have visions and we will have dreams. If there ever was a time that we need to dream new dreams, we need to see ministry bigger than ever before, it's right now in our lives. When you have a God-given dream, every day becomes an exciting adventure with the Lord. You get up and you say, "Lord, what are we up to today?" I'm excited to be alive. How important is a dream? In Proverbs 29:18, we read, "Without a vision, the people perish." John Higgi says that the true meaning of that word is that without a vision, the people cast off restraint. They rebel. They live in confusion. They are in disorder. There's anarchy. That's a picture of a church without a vision. A lightning bug lives most confused. He wanders through life without any mind, with his taillights on behind. That is a picture of a church without a vision. Someone asked Helen Keller, the blind lady, "Is there anything worse than living as a blind person through your life?" She said, "Yes. There's nothing worse than to live your life without any vision for the greater things. God has called you, my dear pastor, to lift your sights to new heights. We serve a God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. I believe that with all my heart tonight." After serving in a developing church for 8 years with all kinds of rented facilities, we were sold out, burned out, kicked out. All of those things. What a day it was when we moved into our first multi-purpose building. We would serve communion by putting tables up at the front of that multi-purpose room, and it was all dependent on getting the very first person started correctly. Then everyone would follow around, pick up the elements, and we'd all partake together. True story. We all stood up for communion. First man here, we'll call him John, had to go to the bathroom. He went out the back door. 4 rows followed him out. And the head usher said it was the funniest thing he ever saw. They never stopped until they stacked up against the bathroom door. Question, is leadership important? How many of you have ever been in a home where a three-year-old's running the home? Can I see your hand? Is it pretty? You say, let me out of here. This is terrible. Well, without visionary leadership in the church, you create a vacuum. And anything but good moves into vacuums. I've seen strange things happen in churches. My father was a church administrator, and I had a great heritage. He was a church administrator for over 30 years, and I saw all kinds of things, weird things. It all happens when you don't have a vision for your own local church. Without a vision, the church becomes a mess. Leadership begins where vision is born. My friend Bill Hybel says, every church must first be born in the mind and heart of some man, some woman. David Yonggi Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world, in his book, Fourth Dimension, says we must become pregnant with the vision until it gets down inside of us and it grows and it grows and it grows till it has to come out. Leaders must not only catch the vision from God, but we must catch our people up in that same vision. We must influence them. We must cast the vision to them. My friend Rick Warren says, if you want to know the temperature of a church, put the thermometer in the mouth of the leader. Let me give you a couple of word pictures about vision. I like word pictures. When I was a boy, like many of you, I had a big microscope like this, magnifying glass, I mean. And I found out that if I went like this, nothing happened. But if I lined it up with the sun and I held it still, it had tremendous power. It would burn a hole right in the middle of the grass. And vision is like that for the church. When you get it lined up with the sun, Jesus, and the power of God begins to flow through that vision, great things happen. Ordinary people like us are a part of extraordinary miracles happening, life-changing miracles in the lives of needy people. A vision begins when a church believes that unsaved people matter to God. Vision is to the church like the banks of a river to a river. Where would a river be without any banks? There wouldn't be any river. It just dissipates. There is no true church of the living God without a vision. A lot of things we do in church, we could do without God. And we do without God a lot of times. I want you to get a vision that is so big and so great that it drives you to your knees. And you have to depend on God or it will not happen in your local church. I know that there are pastors here that are discouraged. The book of Nehemiah speaks to our discouragement. They were in exile. They had been captives. They had been abused. They were so discouraged and the rubble was so high and the walls were a mess. Some of you pastor in churches that are just like that. But it all begins with a new dream, a new vision. As a boy, I saw again and again a church with rubble that was discouraged and in despair and nothing was happening. And if some young preacher would go there and have a vision who didn't know any better. And it would all begin to change. Dream a new dream. Now, there are five steps to fulfilling a dream. One step for each finger. Step number one, dream a worthwhile dream. What is a vision? A vision is the ability, with God's given gifts, to see those things which are not as becoming reality. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To paraphrase that, vision is seeing it before it ever is. And in Acts, we learn that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings God's visions and dreams into our minds and into our hearts. But we have to receive that. We have to cultivate that. We have to soak that in our prayer life and in the reading of God's words. In Genesis chapter 15, we read about Father Abraham. And God takes Abraham out. He says, Abraham, look up at the stars. So will be your descendants, my people. They will number more than stars. But my wife can't have a child. We're old. How can this be? Nothing's impossible with God. But like Abraham of old, you have to look up and you have to see beyond the debris and the discouragement and the impossibility and look to God, who is the author and the finisher of our dreams. Look to Him. You have to see it before it ever happens. Rise up, O leader. God has a dream for your life. A call upon your life and upon your church. And then we see in the 17th chapter of Genesis that Abraham, whose name first is Abram, has a name change. And we see that his wife has a name change from Sarah to Sarah. Why did God change the names? Because the word Abraham means father of a great nation. So every morning, Sarah said, hello, Abraham, father of great nation. Noontime, dinner's ready, father of great nation. Evening time, time to go to bed, father of great nation. Speaking the vision in faith. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit to create that which is not yet here, which looks impossible. Why did he change the name Sarai to Sarah? Because it means princess. It's amazing what we create in beauty when we begin to speak in faith the words that God has for us. I did a little experiment, you know, as a younger husband. I went home one night in a bad mood. And I don't remember whether it was on purpose or not. But pretty soon I noticed my wife was in a bad mood. And then the children are in a bad mood. See, I used to think that the wife set the tone of the home. Wrong. But then I went home the next night and I said, Princess, you look so beautiful. You're so charming, my princess. And she smiled and she was so happy and the kids were happy and everybody was happy. Because with those words, we're creating a good life in our home, positive words. Around some churches, you hear all this negativeness. We pray in faith and we talk a different thing. We talk discouragement. We talk like God can't do anything. I believe it's time we start speaking the vision in faith, believing God to do what He's called us to do together and accomplish in our lives. You test the dream. Four questions. Number one, would this be a great thing for God? Number two, would this help hurting people? Number three, would this bring the best out in me as a pastor and as a person? I believe God wants you to be everything you can be to His glory. And number four, is God calling me to do this right here in this community? Do what you can with what you have, where you are, and God will bless that and use it. No one could have had a more humble beginning than Margie and I had when we started New Hope Community Church. We had no denominational backing. In fact, we lost a lot of our friends when we said we were going to start New Hope Community Church. We sold our house, took the $6,000 equity that we got out of that, and that was the seed bait that we started the church with. We had the first small group in our home. It was a seed faith in itself to believe God would give us hundreds of small groups throughout that city. We started in all places of a drive-in theater. Portland, Oregon, where it rains a lot. I remember one winter out there, I got home after the service. I said, Margie, I sure felt cramped up today. And while I was trying to preach, she says, well, you know, I felt kind of funny, too. See, we got our long underwear switched. But Margie would sing and I would preach. That's all we had. And people would come in their cars. Our slogan was, come as you are in your family car. And one Sunday I stood up. And I said, someday we are going to have hundreds of small groups all over this city led by trained, dedicated lay people. Someday we're going to have multi-need meeting ministries every day of the week that touch people where they hurt and where they are. And someday we're going to have a 3,000-seat sanctuary on a lush green hillside along the freeway system. And on the top of that church, we're going to have a cross 100 feet in the air, freestanding, illuminated, and people will follow that cross to new hope in their life. Now, get the picture. Man's in the car. He's got his dog in the back seat, living girlfriend, drinking coffee. He laughs. He says, this preacher's crazy. I come out here to laugh at him. Do you think they laughed when Abraham went down to get the baby buggy? Has anybody laughed at your visions for your church? If they haven't laughed yet, maybe you haven't dreamed big enough. You need to dream a bigger dream for God that stretches you and reaches you. Number two, not only dream a worthwhile dream, but the second finger is you have to detail the dream. Not only think it, but you have to ink it. It's interesting in 2 Chronicles 28 and 29 that David is given a vision for the temple. And he details every part of the construction of that, and he details the raising of the money. He details the dream for his son to follow. A church operating without detailed goals out of its vision is like trying to play a basketball game without any hoops or goals. How do you know when you're on target? How do you know when you're focusing in, doing what God has called you to do? See, it's the vision and it's the detailing of that dream down into manageable steps that you can take one by one and then the next one that keeps the main thing the main thing. And pluralism and going all over the place will not accomplish anything for the glory of God. David had a great vision. Abraham had a great vision. How about you? Detailing the dream, it was not by accident that we ended up on a lush spring hillside on the I-205 freeway on 20 acres right off the exit across from the largest shopping center. Because way back before we even knew where that property was, we wrote down point by point the details of that dream, lush green hillside, 100,000 people within 15 minutes on a freeway, off an exit. We bought a miracle property with no money. Now, we had to pay for it later, but we got options on it, tied it up. It's a miracle of God. There are six ways to detail the dream for your people. There are slogans like follow the cross to new hope, heal hurts, build dreams. There are symbols like the cross became a symbol, you see, of our vision to reach the unchurched thousands. And isn't it interesting that 80% of our members never belonged to church before? See, that was our target. That was our focus. We can share the dream by scriptures and stories. And then we need to get it down where the people can get hold of it, being specific. I remember when we were building our building, I knew they couldn't imagine these millions of dollars. I could hardly fathom it myself. So what we broke it down where each person could give $5 a week for 3 years and get a seat with their name on it. We raised close to $3 million just like that. When people could get it right down where they could understand and see detail the dream for them. Sixth thing is you have to spend time with your key leaders influencing them. Sometimes people say to me, Dale, you had an easy government to operate, independent church, so forth, but it's not the type of government. Now, some types of government are easier to operate than others, but the truth of it is you do not accomplish the dream, Pastor, unless you build the team and you influence the key leaders who influence the other people, you see. I sometimes meet lay people, they say, if our pastor only had vision. And then I meet a pastor and say, if our people only had vision, we could do something. It's kind of like they're going like this, you know. Listen, there's nothing more powerful than the leaders coming together, pastor and people, on the same dream, the same vision. Then you have something powerful to take place. Third step in fulfilling the dream is to dedicate yourself to the fulfillment of that dream. There is a price to be paid. There is no feast without a sacrifice. A friend of mine stutters, and he told me this story about the world's greatest Bible salesman. This guy sold these great big Bibles door to door, and he would get in by showing the pictures. He had the best closing line I have ever heard in my life. He would get right down to it, and he would say, do you want to buy this Bible, or do you want me to read it to you? It takes dedication. If we're dedicated, we find a way. We look for a way. There's a way somehow to fulfill this vision that God has placed in your heart. And the fourth step in fulfilling the dream God has given to you and is giving to you right now is to dare to risk failure in order to gain success. When we look at Numbers chapter 13 and the sending out of the spies, we see that 10 of them came back settlers and 2 of them came out pioneers. 2 of them got the vision, and the other 10 looked at the giants, and they got the grasshopper complex. There are a lot of pastors that get the grasshopper complex. See, if you get your eyes on your situation and why you can't do it there and all these other things, you're going to be defeated. You're going to feel like a grasshopper. You're going to be overwhelmed. But let's open our eyes and look to God, who has called us and commissioned us, who is able to do abundantly above all we ask or dream in his name. God wants to do great things for us if we'll only lift up our sights and we'll begin to really live out that vision and faith in our lives. I don't know whether to read this or not, but I think I will. Calvin Miller, in an excellent book called The Empowered Leader, says this: "Old line denominations characterized the American religious scene until the middle 60s, and then they began to lose members and fail. The rapid growth of independent evangelical churches of America came, and the former glory of the older denominations began to pass. Why? Here's what Calvin Miller says. Because the independent evangelical pastors were dreamers. They were men and women who had a focused vision, and they didn't worry about all the structure and bureaucracy that a lot of denominations have." I believe God has a dream for you. I believe that God wants to do something in your church, in your denomination. It doesn't happen at the denominational level. It happens in the local church. That's where it happens. That's where we make it or break it. And there is nothing on this earth to keep us from dreaming big dreams in our local church, to believe God for the salvation of the lost. Lost people do matter to God. Do they matter to you? Don't be a settler. Life's too short. Be a pioneer. Believe God for the big dream. Don't give up the dream. The last word is determination. It takes a lot of determination. I've been so impressed by Nehemiah the last several months as I've been just kind of saturating myself in it. Because Nehemiah, he faced the worst odds. I mean, if you were betting on Nehemiah's success to rebuild that wall, what were the odds? Must have been a couple of million to one. I mean, literally, look, absolutely impossible. And then as you see him get this great vision, and he prays it through, and he crystallizes it, and he waits on the right moment, and then he begins to move on that, and how he casts the vision to the people, and they begin to grab hold of that, discourage people, begin to believe for something greater in their life, that they can do it together. And then comes the opposition. And then comes all the obstacles. You can count on this. You can count on this. The more worthwhile your dream, the more obstacles you're going to face. And the more worthwhile your vision, the more opposition you're going to have to deal with and overcome. What kept Nehemiah going? When all this was poured out, this opposition against him, and his life was being threatened, they were even trying to kill him. What kept him going? It was this clear vision, this focus he had on what God had called him to do. I pray this week that every pastor here will get a clear, focused vision for your ministry, for your church, and what God is calling you to do. I have a friend that I met some years ago by the name of John Mayers. Maybe some of you know John Mayers, pastor for many years in the heart of Washington, D.C. He is a white pastor of a black church there. John started that church about 4 years ago right in the heart of Washington, D.C. Across these years, he has watched people that were on welfare have children now that become professional people and business people, and all these things have happened because of his faithfulness in ministry. Back in the 60s, when they were having the riots, it got really rough. All of the white people in his congregation fled and wouldn't come to church. You might say they fled to the suburbs, left him with an all-black congregation. It was so tense and it was so dangerous that the black men in his congregation slept in his front room to protect his family, walked his children to school. One Sunday, while he was preaching, they came in the back door, the rioters, and came up to try to grab him and do him bodily harm. When the men in his church stood up, took those rioters, and threw them out the back door. That's a pretty exciting church service, wasn't it? And I said, John, why did you stay there? Tears ran down his cheek. He said, because God called me. And God gave me a vision for what the church was to become there in Washington, D.C. He's retired now. But if he were here, he would have to say he's been faithful to what God's called him to do. And now his son is a pastor of that great church there in Washington, D.C. Faithful, no matter what. See, God has not promised roses. He's not promised an easy road. But I tell you, it's a great adventure when you live out the dream, when you're faithful to the dream that God has called us to. It's that dream, you know, that wakes you up thinking about it and gets you excited in the night and time you can't sleep and makes you get out of bed and be excited about ministry and what God's up to in your life today. It's a wonderful thing to be a pastor, isn't it? Wonderful thing. When Columbus came across the Atlantic, it was the roughest storm. There was mutiny on board. And they didn't know but what the world was flat, they thought. So they were there. The sea churned more and roared, the more upset the sailors got. And there was mutiny, and they said, let's throw Columbus over. And someone has written this poem. Brave Admiral, what do we say when all hope is gone? Back leaps the words like a leaping sword. Sail on and on and on until Jesus comes, friend. Be faithful, steadfast, unmovable in doing what God has called you to do where you are. I want to close with some words from Charles Wesley. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age my calling to fulfill. May it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will encourage those who have come to this conference discouraged. You will give hope to that man or woman who has lost hope. Rekindle dreams inside our hearts. Enlarge our vision. Oh God, you're so great, so marvelous, and so wonderful. To think that you have chosen us and called us for ministry, we glorify your name, we praise you, we thank you. And oh Lord, we ask that out of this conference will come new dreams, new visions, bigger dreams, bigger visions, so that we might be faithful to the high calling and give everything we have to make a difference to your glory. The salvation of lost people. In Jesus' name, amen.
This recording was produced through the facilities of Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Please do not transcribe into manuscript form or generate other copies without expressed written permission from Asbury Theological Seminary.